Thanks for downloading this podcast. I'm Kelly Beattie of Sky and Telescope magazine, and tonight we're going on a tour of the stars and planets that you'll see overhead during December. Our celestial voyage is sponsored by Celestron, manufacturer of high-quality telescopes and an industry leader in developing exciting optical products with revolutionary technologies. Alas, another year is drawing to a close. I'm reminded of that because on December 21st, at 5:23 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we reach a celestial turnaround point, the solstice. This Latin word means sun stands still. At that moment, the sun has traveled farthest south in the sky, shining directly down on Earth's Tropic of Capricorn in the southern hemisphere, and reverses direction to gradually move northward among the stars. Weather-wise, this date marks the astronomical beginning of summer in the southern hemisphere and of winter up here in the north. This month, new moon falls on December 7th, with first quarter on the 15th and what's known as the full cold moon, for obvious reasons, on the 22nd. Last quarter follows on the 29th. Planet-wise, you can catch Saturn low in the southwest not long after sunset. Look for a super-thin crescent moon nearby on the 8th and the 9th. Swing your gaze to the left, toward south, to find Mars gliding along in relative isolation. Ironically, the red planet is now quite a bit higher in the sky than it was back in July when it passed its closest to Earth since 2003. It might be higher now, but it's also 3 magnitudes fainter, just 1/16th as bright as it was at its peak back then. If you want bright, then turn your attention to the pre-dawn sky. Last month, Venus seemed to rocket upward from nowhere ahead of the sun, and throughout December, it's high up in the east as dawn twilight takes over. I glimpsed Venus in late November after several rainy days, and it was so incredibly bright that, on first glance, I thought it was sunlight glinting off a low-flying plane. No wonder some people mistake it for a UFO. As the December days go by, keep an eye out for Mercury, which is creeping upward well to the lower left of Venus as dawn's twilight starts to brighten. Your best chance of seeing Mercury comes around the 15th, when it rises more than 1.5 hours ahead of the sun. Keep your vigil going for one more week, and you'll spy a third planet, Jupiter, rising from the pre-dawn glow low in the southeast. On the morning of December 21st, Solstice Day, our solar system's largest and smallest planets appear close together, less than 1 degree apart. Unfortunately, by the time Jupiter comes into view before dawn, Saturn will have slipped too low to be seen after sunset. So for now at least, we'll miss the chance to have all 5 naked eye planets in view. Let's return to the evening sky. Once it gets good and dark, around 7 p.m., the majestic stars of Orion veritably leap up over the eastern horizon at the beginning of December. By month's end, those same stars come into view a couple of hours earlier, soon after sunset. Look for the hunter's distinctive belt of 3 stars, oriented as a vertical row as the constellation climbs into the sky. The belt is flanked by ruddy Betelgeuse to its left and icy white Rigel to its right. Now, if you create an imaginary line defined by Orion's belt and follow it upward by about twice the width of your fist held at arm's length, you'll spot a modestly bright star showing the slightest hint of a red color. This is Aldebaran, the angry eye of Taurus the Bull. It's a red giant star about 44 times the sun's diameter and more than 50 times its brightness. Aldebaran doesn't seem that bright because it's 65 light years away. The light from Aldebaran that's hitting your eye left that star in 1953 when Dwight Eisenhower was president of the United States and the launch of Sputnik 1 was still 4 years away. If you're having trouble picking out Aldebaran, be watching on the evening of December 20th, when the nearly full moon is perched just to its upper right. Aldebaran has been known by many names over time. Ancient Persians knew it as Tacheter, and the Romans called it Paralysium. If you lived in the Middle Ages, you might have used Cor Tori, meaning heart of the bull. Hindu astronomers know it as the lunar mansion Rohini, meaning the red one. The name Aldebaran is Arabic for the follower. And what is this star following? That would be the Pleiades, seen higher up in the evening sky by about the width of one fist. It's a small fuzzy spot. But look harder, and you'll realize that it's actually a little cluster of stars, small enough to cover with the tip of your little finger. How many individual stars can you count in the cluster? 5 or 6? 7? Another name for the Pleiades is the Seven Sisters, and I'll have more to say about them next month. But get this, the Japanese call this cluster Subaru. Yep, just like the car. In fact, the next time you see a Subaru on the street, check out the logo. It's a stylized star cluster. There's one other star to mention in this part of the evening sky. Well to the cluster's left, about 3/5 away, is Capella. That's derived from the Latin word for goat. It's a star in the constellation Auriga, a mythological charioteer who doubles as a goat herder. December is also the month that features the return of one of the year's very best meteor showers, the Geminids. From a clear, dark location, you might see one meteor per minute or more when it peaks on the nights of December 13th and 14th. You can start looking a couple of days before that and continue a couple afterward. And unlike some meteor showers, you don't have to stay up until the wee hours to see the Geminids, because at mid-northern latitudes, the show starts by 9 p.m. So why do we see these particular meteors every December like clockwork? Meteor showers happen when our planet plows through a stream of fine particles that have been shed by a comet and spread out along its orbit. Earth crosses the Geminids orbit every December. But these meteors are unusual. Their source isn't a comet, but an asteroid called Phaethon. Now, Phaethon isn't very large, only about 3 miles across, and it was discovered fairly recently in 1983. Before then, no one knew where the Geminids came from. Phaethon's most remarkable distinction is that it approaches the Sun closer than any other named asteroid. Its perihelion, or close point, is only 13 million miles from the Sun. That's less than half of Mercury's perihelion distance, and it means temperatures on Phaethon can climb to more than 1,300 degrees Fahrenheit. Astronomers think this is a rocky body that starts cracking and breaking down its minerals into dust as the searing sunlight heats its surface. The Sun's radiation pressure then drives them off into space, and eventually some of them plow into Earth's atmosphere, creating the Geminid meteors. If you want more sky-watching tips, check out skyandtelescope.com. And you can embark on a voyage across the universe this holiday season with a telescope by Celestron. During December, Celestron's best-selling computerized telescopes, including the NextStar SE, NextStar Evolution, CPC, and CPC Deluxe HD, are all on sale. Some models are up to $400 off. There's never been a better time to discover the night sky or to share the hobby of astronomy with someone you love. To check out Celestron's current promotions and browse its holiday gift guide, visit celestron.com/holiday. That's it for December. Until next time, I wish you clear skies.